French Secret Service. They were accused of being Al-Qaeda members and tried. The accused rejected the allegations, declaring that they were victims of the French Secret Service's manipulations. Here, for the first time, experts report, the French Secret Service's involvement began in France and Algeria.
Vor diesem Hintergrund spricht einiges dafür und man muss einfach wissen, dass der
französische... There is conclusive evidence indicating that the French and Algerian secret services had collaborated closely since the Algerian war.
After the Islamic Salvation Front won the democratic elections in 1992, the military staged a coup, and Algeria in 1992 was plunged into a bloody civil war. During that time, Bukhari, Sabour, Ben Ali, and Marouni, all of whom were underage, fled without their families to Europe when they lived on the margins of society as small hash dealers. Until they fell into a secret service trap, they were accused of being Al-Qaeda terrorists and wound up in German prisons. We met the former head of Algerian military intelligence somewhere in Belgium. He told us the Algerian secret service agents had always been involved in terrorism, like in the case of the young men accused in the Frankfurt trial. He talked about his experiences.
Well, it's a proven fact that the DRS services, in other words, special units of the Algerian army's intelligence corps, participated in the massacre.
Here is how it began. In Frankfurt, the defendants had gone to North African mosques to eat after their daily fasts during Ramadan. There, they asked fellow Algerians why there was terror in their country. A couple of Algerian soldiers who had fled convinced them that they should go to London to find out the truth. Marouni, Bukhari, Sabour and Ben Ali then travelled to the British capital where they contacted an Algerian organisation.
Our theory, which has been essentially confirmed by our client, is as follows. A member of the French Secret Service, calling himself Nureddin, approached my client, who was living in London at the time, and persuaded him to get involved in the Algerian struggle for liberation.
How could that possibly work?
Ils ont envoyé un capitaine à Peshawar.
Well, it worked because of the close ties between the French and Algerian secret services. For example, Algerian intelligence had sent a captain to Peshawar who claimed to be an Islamist and high-ranking member of Hijra u Takfir's group. He then returned with a new identity and immediately began recruiting and leading armed groups as early as 1991, before the thwarted elections. So preparations for a civil war were going on well in advance.
In London, the young Algerians were in contact with the Algerian organization at the Baker Street Mosque, which was led by the physician Abu Doha. From there, they traveled with forged passports, first to Pakistan, and then to join the terrorists in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, the defendants were taken to the house of the Algerians. They received military and religious instructions. They were soon at odds with the organization and wanted to return to Europe. But that was impossible because their money and passports had been taken from them. The Pakistani military was remotely pulling the strings. In Islamabad, high-ranking Pakistani military officers met with Taliban leaders in 1994. They agreed to train terrorists in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Their main goal was to wage jihad or holy war, funded by smuggling opium and weapons. So the young Algerians from London were supported in Afghanistan by Pakistan. But this was by no means unusual.
Ja, London-Pakistan ist bestimmt eine wichtige Connection.
Yes, the London-Pakistan connection is known as an important one. Many Algerians live in the United Kingdom. There are also FIS sympathizers, as well as some GIA agents.
The four Algerians were allowed to return from Afghanistan to London in the autumn of 2000. Their conflict with the organization in London intensified due to fraud and blackmail. Sabur and Maruni separated from Abu Doha and lived in the mosque, having no money. Ben Ali returned to Frankfurt and continued to deal hashish. In London, Bukhari married an Algerian woman and was expecting a baby.
The defendants were simply pawns in a game of chess that was somehow being directed from the uppermost levels.
The man who had sent the young people to Afghanistan to train as terrorists, namely the Algerian Nureddin who lived in London, asked Bukhari to buy weapons. They were to be sent from Frankfurt to Algeria.
We assume that Nureddin, who approached my client, Mr. Bukhari, as I mentioned before, was a member of the Secret Service, although during the trial it was not possible to determine either his real identity or his whereabouts.
Bukhari and Sabur went from Frankfurt to Belgium to buy the weapons. There, they met with another Algerian named Mothanna, who was supposed to put them in contact with armed smugglers. But the situation there seemed suspicious to them, so they decided to return to Frankfurt without purchasing anything. After this failure, Nureddin gave them another task, to carry out an attack on the Jewish synagogue in Strasbourg. But what was the point of these operations?
This doesn't surprise me very much, because operations of this type had already been carried out in the past. In other words, with the French Secret Service manipulating the Algerian group.
Bukhari and Sabur traveled around Germany using forged credit cards to buy chemicals for making explosives. From London, they obtained a Pakistani pressure cooker to serve as a bombshell. They stored everything in an apartment in Frankfurt and traveled to Strasbourg to film the synagogue that was their target.
My clients have always insisted that their target was not the Christmas market in Strasbourg, as stated in the indictment, but a synagogue in Strasbourg, which was supposed to be empty at the time of the attack. In other words, that their intention was never to endanger people's lives, but only to damage property.
In Strasbourg, they had the feeling that they were being followed. They went into a restaurant in the city center to eat. Then, they filmed the Christmas market to show Nureddin that they had really been in Strasbourg, but could not find the synagogue.
We believe that the French Secret Service hatched the entire plan and watched everyone the whole time.
Then, the Algerian Mothanna contacted the third defendant, Ben Ali, in Frankfurt to ask if he could leave his suitcase at Ben Ali's home in Roderbergweg while he was traveling on business. He said that it contained computer equipment. Ben Ali took the suitcase home without checking its contents. In reality, it had dismantled weapons. A day later, Nureddin visited him. After his visit, the French Secret Service tipped off the Verfassungsschutz, Germany's domestic intelligence agency, that a terror attack was being planned in Strasbourg. From that point on, Ben Ali was watched round the clock.
I don't think that the French Secret Service intended to let them carry out the attack. They would probably have intervened in time to prevent it. Our theory is that the French authorities wanted to wait until the weapons were taken to France before stepping in.
Who were these terrorists? Most of them were agents of the army, the government and the Secret Service, or else Islamists working for the regime. That much is clear. Very clear.
What the experts describe is the following hypothesis. Nureddin sent the young Algerians to the terrorist training camp, but at the same time he was working for the French Secret Service. The That is how he learned about Bukhari's plan to attack the synagogue. So Nuruddin was both the instigator and the investigator, a double role that is typical of the French secret service. A brief look at France's foreign policy regarding Algeria helps shed light on this story. The bombs that exploded in the Paris metro in 1995 were attributed to Algerian Islamists. But was this really true?
In my opinion, at least, there's no doubt that the DRS, the Algerian Secret Service, that is, was behind the 1995 attacks in France.
At that time, Algerian lawyer Ali André Missili, a critique of the regime, was murdered in Paris. Who ordered his death?
I was there. I witnessed the contracting of Ali André Massili's murder for 80 million French francs. The murderer benefited from the support of the Home Ministry. It was Charles Pasqua who sent the assassin to Algeria in a hurry to prevent him from being apprehended and tried. So the military government was supported by the West, and especially by France.
Des pays européens qui ont aidé, ce sont la France.
Puis il y a des pays. There are also countries that, like Italy and Spain, mainly have economic ties with Algeria, namely for the supply of natural gas and petroleum. Now, the Western countries were initially afraid that the Islamists would renege on the contracts. That led them to somehow arranged the bombing attacks in France in the early 90s, specifically in 1992. So they could then say, see, if we don't stop this, the Islamists, and not just those in Algeria, will invade Europe and unleash a religious war, a clash of civilizations.
There are terrorists everywhere that there is oil. There isn't oil everywhere that there are terrorists, but wherever there is oil, there are terrorists. And Al-Qaeda appeared in the Maghreb just at the moment that the United States was getting ready to secure resources in Africa by military means.
Perhaps it is no coincidence that the defendants in Frankfurt were all Algerians, and that the scene of the crime was France. What kind of foreign policy was behind that?
Nachdem die USA AFRICOM gebildet haben und insbesondere
After the United States had reshaped Africa, and especially the countries of North Africa and the Sahel, declaring these states to be especially eligible for funding and establishing close military cooperation with them, France, authorized by the UN Security Council, carried out an international intervention in Chad to balance out the influence that the United States had developed in that former French colony.
Algeria, like Iran, has the advantage of possessing important raw material such as natural gas and petroleum while being right at Europe's door.
Algeria now accepts virtually all recommendations that the United States dictates to it. For example, we see how Algeria participates in NATO maneuvers. We also see Algeria becoming integrated in the European Mediterranean region. This somehow more or less obliges it to recognize Israel, something that would have been practically impossible if Islamists were in power.
Back to the crime scene in Frankfurt. The defendants had been kept under strict anti-terrorist surveillance as members of Al-Qaeda.
The secret services, I don't know if only the French secret service was involved or also the British, this is beyond our knowledge, then found out where the group was meeting.
Thanks to the British and French secret services, Marouni, Sabour, Ben Ali and Bukhari were arrested on December 22, 2000. Nureddin and his accomplice managed to escape from the crime scene in Frankfurt to Paris, despite intense police surveillance. More Algerians with connections to the Frankfurt group were arrested in Paris, including Jumak and Aknouche. The responsible court in Frankfurt summoned them to appear as witnesses, but the French authorities refused to allow it. Who exactly was the accomplice with the suitcase full of weapons?
He was the central witness for the prosecution. The defendants had tried to disqualify him by saying he was controlled. In almost every such trial, including other terrorist trials in France against members of armed Islamic groups, witnesses always appear about whom no one knows who sent or instructed them and how they came by their knowledge. Consequently, there are unknowns in all of these trials.
What interest did the French government have in preventing precisely these witnesses from leaving the country?
It simply must be recognized that all kinds of interests, and especially national concerns, are involved. These are political trials, not ordinary criminal proceedings. There is always talk about witness protection programs, which means that a great deal can be and is concealed from the public. It's also a fact that the state has to demonstrate its legal right to act in trials like this one. These are all things that can interfere with the search for the truth.
The feeling remains that something was going on. But who exactly was behind it? And why did France withhold two witnesses who were important for the trial in Frankfurt?
We assume that these witnesses knew something about the involvement of the French Secret Service. That was why they were prevented from testifying. This book contains some important documents which convincingly show that the secret service of a Western power, in this case France, masterminded the planned act of terrorism in Strasbourg.
Westmacht in Diensten war, in diesem Fall Frankreich.
The Secret Service's game of terror. But how was the game supposed to unfold?
Par la suite, on justifie la lutte contre le terrorisme par le fait qu'il y ait des attentats, qu'il y ait des tentatives.
Basically, the war against terrorism is justified by the fact that there are attacks. Here, we have the case of a crime that was permitted just to obtain an excuse for saying that there is a threat. But in my view, purposefully engineered crimes cannot deliver conclusive proof.
Existe réellement, non. Ces délits provoqués, pour moi, ne constituent pas une preuve fondamentale.
The Western media report on terrorist bomb attacks as being carried out by Islamists. But the perpetrators are merely Muslims from Arab-speaking countries, such as Al-Qaeda in Algeria. How does this happen?
Man muss natürlich auch sehen, dass solche Prozesse.
It is clear that trials like this, which have taken place in a very heated atmosphere since 9/11, greatly impact the public. And that when there is a trial of this kind, the state can show that it is doing something against terrorism. This has to do with the general political climate. The Secretary General of NATO has stated that Islam is probably a greater threat than communism ever was. And the French Defense White Book of 1994 declares that Islam is probably a greater threat than communism was. Practically the same words, which were then no longer an enemy to fight. So who should it defend against?
What do all these terrorist trials in Europe mean?
Concerning the trials which have taken place all over Europe, for instance in Germany, Britain, France, Italy and Spain, it's clear that fewer than 10% of them actually deserve to be regarded as terrorism trials. The other 90% deal with ordinary criminals, that is, dealers, thugs, and so on, who have nothing at all to do with terrorism. The image of the Islamic world that they are trying to paint is completely false.
Ce sont des délinquants, ce sont des dealers, ce sont des truands, ce sont des... voilà, mais qui n'ont rien à voir avec ce que les États-Unis ont en première ligne, cette image qu'ils veulent donner au mouvement islamiste, absolument pas.
Those who carry out attacks use a lot of explosives. TNT.
Explosive.
Where do they get it?
TNT. Vos fond.
Although there are many checks, and thorough ones at that, in Algeria, they come up with 800 kilos one time, 500 kilos another, which is actually impossible. It remains a puzzle. Where else can so many explosives come from, if not from the army? Who else? Do you understand?
Explosive, wenn nicht der Army. Wer hat die Möglichkeit, dann. Verstehst?
Our experts suggest that not only secret services were behind the planned terror attacks, but also other government organizations. This is a political thriller involving possible bombing attacks against civilians. In the end, it becomes clear what companies and politicians need terrorists for. The spectacular terrorist trial in Frankfurt finally came to an end. Every day of it cost €500,000, and the government paid €600,000 for security at the Palace of Justice alone. The trial has also been sharply criticized for its lack of evidence and witness testimony.
We don't have any direct proof, which forces us to rely on supposition. Throughout the trial, the court tried to play down the Secret Service's role and avoid illuminating it further.
It seems to be that the whole thing was relatively murky from the start. I doubt that this trial has truly served the search for the truth.
Why?
A great deal remained unclear in the trial because most of the presented evidence came from the Secret Service and therefore cannot be verified. This is fairly frustrating for someone interested in determining what actually happened.
The defendants, Sabur, Maroni, Ben Ali, and Bukhari, were convicted of being Islamist jihadists and sentenced to between 10 and 15 years of prison for plotting to carry out a bombing attack against Christians in the Strasbourg Christmas market. In the name of the people, guilty. Conspiring to commit murder.